Hey, it's Black and Abdallah After Hours here on YouTube. On today's episode, we talk about Jaden Daniels and Drake May being the second best quarterback of this NFL class. We get into that. The Final Four for the men's and women, and Caitlin Clark being an absolute star, bringing eyeballs to college basketball. Abdallah, we have the solar eclipse coming up on Monday.
The greatest event in the history of the human race since 2017 and until 2044 is taking place on Monday.
We also have a discussion about Sunships being the absolute best and trash pandas. Watch out because of the trash pandas. They're coming to eat your family and your village. Make sure you like and subscribe to the page, Black and Abdallah, here on YouTube. Also, download the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. After Hours with Black and Abdallah starts now. Let's start with football. And we were talking yesterday about Caleb Williams only taking one visit with the Chicago Bears. That's out there, and that happened this week. And so we've kind of broke that down here on the channel throughout the week, that the Bears took him out to dinner. This is the one visit for Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. Well, we do have news today that Jaden Daniels is going to visit two of three of the top three teams.
Yeah.
Huh. Two of three, not three of three. Mm.
And we know one of them is going to be the Patriots for sure. So we know he's visiting the Patriots, two out of the three. Now, you only get 30 visits with potential prospects. And if the Bears know that they're going to take Caleb Williams and he's not going on any other visits, why would the Bears even meet with Jaden Daniels or Drake May? Then we know that Ryan Poles didn't go to Drake May's pro day already. Why waste one of those precious 30 visits on a guy you know you're not going to take?
No, that's a fair point. And I think the Bears are going to utilize these visits for players they're looking to scout for that ninth pick, right? So we're going to see wide receivers come in. We're going to see defensive ends come in. I know that an offensive tackle was in this week at House Hall. So there are options there for the ninth pick, and that's how Ryan Poles is going to use these 30 visits with prospects and figure it out. And for Jaden Daniels, like, it also is out there that Caleb Williams is going to be the guy, right? Yeah. So for Jaden Daniels to even waste his time with the Bears, like, it's the back channels have already signaled to him that he's not the guy.
There's no back channels. This is out in the forefront. This is happening.
But I'm pointing to, like, the agents, everything leading into the pro days. Like, mm-hmm. It's very obvious that the number one pick is solidified. It's going to be Caleb Williams, right? So from that point on, everyone behind that one pick is now functioning with the idea that, okay, he's going to go and visit the Commanders, the Patriots, and he's going to hope that he beats out Drake May. This is not a competition anymore between Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams for who the number one pick is going to be. And quite frankly, it's never been Drake May and Caleb Williams, which I was surprised about. I thought in the offseason that we would get to a point where it would be a tough decision for the Bears. But then the teams got around Caleb Williams. People saw his personality, and that kind of completely went away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone we've talked to has said that Caleb Williams has checked every single box off the field. And if that's the case, and he can throw the football, and he could play the position, he's the guy. That's it.
What I'm interested in seeing now, if Jaden Daniels does, he's going to two of the three of the top three. So we know he's going to Washington, and he's already meeting with the Patriots. And then you see Drake May. There's been a lot of noise around J.J. McCarthy and Jaden Daniels. But for some reason, there's been little to zero noise around Drake May. Not even falling, nothing like that. You don't hear a lot about what he's doing or that he's going on all these visits or that kind of thing. It just kind of seems like the dust has kind of settled around Drake May. There's not a lot of chatter. I don't know if that's because maybe this is a situation where J.J. McCarthy goes ahead of him and maybe he's the guy that ends up falling. There's always someone that's sitting out there in the green room, out in the audience a little too long. And I'm wondering if Drake May is becoming that guy who may just be hanging out for not necessarily too long. I still think he's going to end up going in the top 10, but maybe he ends up being the fourth quarterback taken.
All right. Ready? book this, right? Ooh. He's going to be the second quarterback off the board.
Drake May?
Yeah. This is why. Ooh. I like the guy who's being not rumored about, not as much chatter.
Okay.
I think the JJ McCarthy stuff could fit that bill. The guy who's sitting in the green room on draft night,
wow,
who gets past a certain point where everyone expected him to be top five,
mm-hmm,
that could be JJ McCarthy. I don't think that's Drake May. I think everyone knows Drake May is good. He's just not as good as Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
So I think the hype coming from the other prospects, that's the agents, mm-hmm, trying to get that out there. That's other teams.
Yeah.
Hoping that Drake May is the one that fall.
Yeah.
So then he can be the guy that they take. I'm always a little leery of the post-combine hype players.
Noise. Yeah.
Yeah, because we saw it. It's college football. We see the games, the tapes there. That, mm-hmm, all of that is out there for us to consume. I'm always a little skeptical of those who fly up the draft board. Like, remember a couple of years ago, wasn't it Malik Willis after the combine, the quarterback from Liberty?
Mm-hmm.
He was a quarterback that people thought could be a first-round guy.
Yeah.
And then as we were heading closer and closer towards the draft, and now we're within 3 weeks of the draft this year, but Malik Willis all of a sudden popped up to, like, could he be top 10? Is he a top five quarterback?
Yeah.
Is this guy the best quarterback in the class?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, we saw him at Liberty. He should be drafted.
He's fine.
Maybe he'll start one day in the NFL. But I think it's Drake May. I think Drake May is the second quarterback.
Okay.
I don't believe the hype with the Jaden Daniels. I know that he won the Heisman last year. But think back 2 years now. Caleb Williams and Drake May have been prospects number one and two.
Yeah.
Going back two seasons ago. And Drake May didn't do anything to disappoint. It's been the others post-season who have flown up the draft boards.
Yeah.
And then you got the talking heads on TV, Orlovsky and Riddick, saying that Jaden Daniels better than Caleb Williams. They're the only two out there.
Get out of here.
There's no one else saying
that. Get out.
Those are the only two saying it.
Get out.
I'm just saying, Daniels is going to be a good player. This isn't a critique to try and trash Jaden Daniels.
No, 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 no.
I just think that Drake May, because there's no chatter, he's going to go second.
All right.
You'll see. In 3 weeks, we'll address that on this show.
All right. You heard it here.
I'll tell you.
10th, because you're not the only one saying that. So that's fine.
Let's continue on. This weekend, a big weekend in basketball. The men's and the women's Final Four is this weekend. You have Cleveland, you have Arizona, you have both events going on this weekend. Before we break down any specifics, what the biggest storyline for this weekend in college basketball, 100%, is the matchup tonight on ESPN television. UConn, Iowa, Paige Beckers against Caitlin Clark. The game between UConn and Iowa in the women's Final Four, that's the biggest storyline of the weekend, right?
Yes, because when you have a player like Caitlin Clark who set all these records and lost last year to LSU, what's the one thing that has eluded her so far? It's an NCAA championship, right? And if that can be the exclamation point on her college career, because she's already declared for the WNBA draft, and she's going to go to Indiana because they have the first pick, and to solidify that career. I'm not saying that if she loses, it takes anything away from her career. She's one of the best. She's the all-time leading scorer in NCAA history, both men's and women's, right? So you're not going to take away from her career if she doesn't win, because it is a team game. But this would be the icing on the cake for her, especially after losing last year. And because the hype train kind of started last year with Caitlin Clark.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been full steam ahead this year. And so to go, and if they, you know, the way that they beat LSU, and then they're favored against UConn tonight. So if they beat UConn tonight and they go on to the championship game and she ends up winning, I think it's just extra, you know, icing on the cake, like I said, for her career. She's still one of the best players ever, but this would be for the program too, that has had all this hype around them for the last 2 years. This would also be great for them too.
You know, we kind of watched this college basketball season for both the men and the women. And to me, this entire season has been about the women, because the storylines are so much more interesting. And it's not necessarily to blame anyone in the men's game, except for the fact that with the one and done rule and the transfer portal, each year is a fresh start for every single men's top program.
Yeah.
And to me, as a fan of basketball, it just makes it tough to get involved early.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout a season, Purdue has had a great year, and we know the struggles that they had last year, losing in the first round, but now they're back. UConn has been a completely dominant team this season. They win the national title last year on the men's side.
Mm-hmm.
They're back in it. And the North Carolina State story on the men's side is incredible, right? You have to win your conference tournament to get in.
Yeah.
You've got a player who looks like he plays in your rec league, who's your leading player. Like, it's a fun story. But with the women's game, there are stars that we know who are carrying on from season to season, and it's enjoyable to kind of watch.
You forgot one of the men's teams.
What men's team?
Alabama.
Yeah, I was just giving. What's your storyline there? I was giving nice storylines.
They were one of the worst teams down the stretch.
What's your storyline?
They were literally one of the worst teams in college basketball.
Congrats to Nate Oates.
They've had to come back.
All right.
Losing every single game, and now they have a chance. A football school that's been dominant in football. Saban leaves, passes the torch to Nate Oates, gets to the Final Four. I'm sorry. It's still a good story.
Abdallah is a Alabama fan.
Damn right. Roll Tide.
Interesting that he's now a Alabama basketball fan now that they're playing well. He wasn't before.
Well, when Nate Oates got there, I became an Alabama basketball fan. Family connections.
Just want to make sure those watching
this
fantastic program are aware. No, I wasn't forgetting that. I was listing off storylines on the men's side.
Yeah.
To me, have not been as interesting or as fun to watch or follow as seeing Paige Beckers come back from an injury last year, back with UConn, a team that essentially they start four guards and all five players. It's like if you're a Bulls fan here in Chicago, it's reminiscent of the Thibodeau era here with the Bulls. UConn doesn't sub out anyone. Those five ladies play the entire game.
Yeah.
Iowa, on the flip side, they got a couple that could come off the bench, but they essentially, it's Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm.
It's Gabby Marshall is fantastic. She's been there with Caitlin the last couple of seasons. The storylines. Mm-hmm. You knew the storylines with LSU before they lost on Monday. Yep. And I think that, to me, has made this a lot of fun to watch and to follow. And I'm looking forward to tonight, the early game, NC State in South Carolina, and then the late game, the 8 o'clock game on ESPN television, UConn and Iowa. It's fantastic. And then ABC on Sunday is when you'll get the championship game.
Yeah.
So it could be South Carolina against UConn or Iowa. I don't think a lot of people are really expecting the Wolfpack to beat South Carolina tonight, but we'll see how that goes. But here's what I like about the weekend. We then get the two men's games on Saturday. So you get two women's games tonight, two games on Saturday, championship game on Sunday, championship game Monday. I like this idea now that you can celebrate all of the games together.
Yeah.
You know, like it used to be, and maybe it's a sports talk radio type of thing, but like it used to be only coverage of the men's game. But now it's like, let's celebrate the Final Four weekend overall. We got games tonight, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Look,
it's four straight days of great games.
To me, this matchup between Iowa and UConn is a better game to me than Iowa LSU. I understand the storylines going into it. Iowa lost to LSU. You've got all the Kim Mulkey stuff, all that. I get it. I understand all of it. But on paper, the better game to me is going to be watching Beckers against Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
That's going to be a better matchup than what we saw against LSU.
And if you want storylines to carry over, Paige Beckers has already said that she's coming back to UConn for next season. Mm-hmm. So however their season ends at UConn this year, she'll be back next year, hopefully to carry along some of what Caitlin Clark has brought, the attention that she's brought to the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Paige Beckers, who was more hyped coming out of high school
than
Caitlin Clark, can continue that on. I did want to play this, though, because the women's Final Four, Dawn Staley, head coach for South Carolina, she had this to say to the media.
I have a brief question, because you guys are writers, right? I just posted a tweet, and we had a long discussion in our coaches' meeting. So our players were in the locker room. Lying or laying down? Lying? You sure? So I told our coaches, someone taught me you lie to get laid, right? Sorry. So excited to be here.
There you go. Awesome. Dawn Staley, one of the best coaches in basketball, and South Carolina faces off against NC State tonight. Lying or laying, but you lie to get laid.
What's the best lie you've ever told to that?
To get laid?
Yeah.
The best lie I've ever told to get laid.
Because you know mine.
Or yeah, at least to, I mean, an attempt. You and I, we had a... We had a double team effort, but we would. How else do you say it? Like, you're playing two on two.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about the time we went to Cincinnati. Yeah, I told someone that I created Groupon, and she believed me.
Yes, we weren't. Don't take that the wrong way. I'm saying, like, we were both in on the same thing.
Yes.
Like we two were. On yes. two. We were in on the same lie.
I created Groupon. He was my financial manager.
In the same room.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That was the lie. She believed it.
No, yeah. That it
you know
actually
why
worked.
She believed it too, because she was like, I pulled out my phone to get her number and she was like, you would have an iPhone. I was like, doesn't
That's how old this story is.
Everyone have an iPhone now?
Yeah, it was back, like, the iPhone was brand new, so we're talking...
It wasn't that new, dude. Maybe, everyone had iPhones at that point.
It was like 2007, 2008, and it was... Not only was it the iPhone that did it, but it was Groupon
Groupon was huge, is all you need to know.
Groupon was like the thing, yeah. Right? And yeah, Adam said that I'm the creator of Groupon, and I was like his helper or something. I don't know.
Financial manager. Money guy.
Jonathan Hood was with us at the time, and we said he was our security guard.
Security guard. Our friend Brian was with us. He was my driver.
And
transportation.
They bought it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't recall any other like extreme lies to get to that point.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it wasn't that extreme. Who knows who created Groupon?
No, no one does.
It could be me or you.
Are they even around now?
I don't think so.
Didn't they close those offices?
I think they definitely closed the offices, but I don't still know if you could walk into a restaurant and be like, I have half price sushi, please.
I don't think people, that was the other thing is like at that stage when you're dating, like, there's nothing lamer than being the guy that's going out on dates with the Groupon. He's got the Groupon, like, cutout to bring to the table.
We got
to
go tonight. This expires.
Let's get to this. Yesterday, Gilbert Arenas was on Shannon Sharpe's podcast talking about the NBA, Nikola Jokic, and the MVP award. This is what Gilbert Arenas had to say yesterday.
Now, I do understand when they say this about Jokic. Jokic is probably statistically, when it comes to overall game, the worst MVP winner. He's the worst MVP winner in the last 40 years. Why you say that? When you're talking about MVP, the guys outside of first and second place, their teams was first and second place. The people who won the MVP, their teams was first and second.
So there you go. Gilbert Arenas saying that Jokic is the worst MVP in the last 40 years based on stats. He's saying stats, but then he says first and second place. Meanwhile, Denver won the championship last year.
So. Yeah. Well, I think, so is he trying to say that a team shouldn't be the MVP if your team is good? Like, if a team wins a championship, because it is
game. I think he's trying to say the opposite. I think he's trying to say that if your team is not first or second place,
then you shouldn't
be the MVP.
They won last year.
I know they did. So I know.
I could understand if you would say that, look, Jokic is a boring MVP. Like, he's just a statistical freak.
Well, that's certainly the case. He absolutely is.
He's a boring MVP. Like, when a big guy wins and he's just putting up crazy numbers, you're just like, all right, yeah, statistically he's the best player in the NBA, but it's just kind of boring.
I mean, you go back to the last 40 years, right? Okay. So we're going back. Here's what you have to point out. Mm-hmm. When you go back for the MVP award, I think in recent years, we've as a basketball society, done a pretty good job of figuring out who the best player is.
Yeah.
Giannis has won two. Yeah. Jokic has won two. Embiid won last year.
Okay.
All three of those players are worthy of an MVP.
Yeah, absolutely.
No complaint.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden in 2018, he was the best player.
Sure.
Bit of a stat hog.
Yeah.
But if you really want to get into who didn't deserve an MVP, Russell Westbrook in 2017, because he was a season triple-double.
Yeah.
Remember that? Like,
well, they also were boxing out so he could get rebounds.
That's my point, is that Russ was on a team that wasn't competing for a championship.
No.
He was the MVP because he was putting up a triple-double every night.
No.
But he was, like, hunting for the rebounds and for the assists.
And they were helping him.
Yeah. Right. And then before that, you get Curry twice, Durant, okay. LeBron, okay. Derrick okay. Rose in 2011. The Bulls were the best team in the league, and Derrick was the best player at that mm-hmm. time. Some more LeBrons, Kobe, mm-hmm. Dirk, Steve Nash. Now, the Steve Nash years is where we could really, if you want to talk about people winning the MVP but not being the best player, Kobe Bryant was the best player in the league.
He should have won.
For those years. But in Steve Nash's defense, those Suns teams were awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Gilbert Arenas is clearly just talking and saying shit. I mean, that's what it is.
I mean, listen, what are we doing here?
Well, yes, it is. It's just, I don't think you can point to Jokic's stats to why he's a bad MVP. You said it.
He's boring.
He's a boring MVP.
Yeah, he's boring.
And it may not be the type of marquee name the league would prefer.
No.
Like we had back in the 90s.
They might want someone that cares about basketball. Like, I'm not saying he doesn't care about basketball, but like, he's let it be known that he doesn't enjoy fame and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and he doesn't, he's not as marketable as some of the other players. Mm-hmm. You know, Anthony Edwards right now, I think, is a more marketable player.
Dude.
There's lots of guys in the league, but like last night watching Clippers Nuggets, you know, you're watching the game and the Nuggets are so good, yet it's not really something you get like excited for.
I don't
like, you know what I mean? Like usually if there's a team at this point in the season that's at the top of the standings, a defending champ mm-hmm. with a two-time MVP mm-hmm. who might win his third, usually at that point,
must watch.
And people are talking about it.
But I would say
no one's talking about the Denver Nuggets
The player I'd like to watch most night in and night out is Anthony Edwards.
Okay, that's interesting. I
think he's my most watchable player right now.
Yeah, he's certainly in the conversation. Giannis is in that combo.
Yeah.
Steph Curry still.
Eh.
Yeah, but you're right. Anthony Edwards every night. I think Victor Wembanyama is starting to enter that.
See, it'd be different if their team was like,
well, they're the worst team in the West.
The slightest bit better.
Yeah.
Like, even if they were fighting for a play-in spot, you'd be like, okay, this is good. But they're just so bad that I'm not going to watch a team getting blown out by 20 just to watch Wembanyama.
I can't believe that. Because of his stats, he shouldn't win the MVP. Mm-hmm. Monday, Abdallah, we have a big event that's going to take place around the world.
We do. It is a full total solar eclipse. And guess who's taking advantage? Brands.
Oh, really?
Brands are taking advantage. Every single brand you could think of under the sun is taking advantage of this situation. Some airlines are offering flights so you can fly during the eclipse and see it up even closer than you would if you were on the ground here.
You can't stick your head out the window
on
a flight.
You can open up the shade.
Yeah. Open up the door
and
just jump out and take a look at the darkness. Like, what are we doing?
I mean, that's what people are paying for. All right, let's take look at some of these.
Give it
to me. First one is Sun Chips is releasing a limited edition flavor of chips in honor of the April 8th eclipse. Now, this is only going to go live. You can only get these during the eclipse on their website, sunchipsolareclipse.com. It is a pineapple habanero and black bean spicy Gouda.
Wow.
It is a nod to the sunny skies, bright days ahead, while nodding to the moon with a cheesy touch. And you can only go online and get these at 1:33 p.m. Central for about 4 minutes. The only amount of time where it's, I believe that's the time where it's going to be the total solar eclipse is happening before the moon starts to go to the other side of the sun.
That means it's garbage. They're going to jam the servers and no one will get these.
Of course.
They sound great. My favorite sun chip, it's a toss up between the cheese or the salsa one.
Is that the red pepper one?
Yeah, that one's outstanding.
That's probably my favorite one. All right.
And I do have to say this. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to take away from
no, okay.
Your segment here.
No, you're okay.
I have a problem.
With?
Sun chips.
What?
Eating them.
Do they get the stuff on the roof of your mouth?
No. They're delicious. And I can't, you know, the big bag?
Yeah.
The party bag?
You could eat the whole thing?
Big party bag?
Yeah.
One sitting.
Oh, easily. To me,
like a bag of sun chips is
the roof of my mouth.
No matter the size of a bag of sun chips, it's one serving.
Eating the whole thing.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Am I the only person that like,
I feel that way about chips in general, unless they're salt and vinegar, because then it's like, that's too much salt.
Not always though. Mm. Sun chips go down smooth.
They do. Even though they're the least smooth chip available.
I'm sorry to derail this.
No, that's okay. Coming up next here. We have the Sonic Blackout Slushy. Obviously, Sonic has many a slushy. This is part of their campaign here. This is a cotton candy flavor, a dragon fruit flavor, an all-black slushy base, creamy white soft serve on top, and galaxy-themed sprinkles in blue and purple shades at the Sonic Eclipse Slush.
Okay.
My problem with this one, my mouth's going to turn black. Right? Your mouth's going to be black. Mouth's going to turn all black. You ever eat like a blue thing, your mouth turns all blue?
Yes.
This is what's going to happen.
Yes. Eating a blue
thing.
Your
whole mouth is going to be all black the rest of the day.
A little blue raspberry.
But I would try this. I would definitely try this.
I would try that.
Okay.
I would try it.
Our next one coming up, the Krispy Kreme has a special Oreo donut to celebrate the total eclipse. From April 5th, so starting today through April 8th, the donut is selling a total solar eclipse donut. Limited edition Oreo pack treat is honoring the rare celestial event. It's an original glazed donut dipped in black chocolate icing and is topped with silver sprinkles, Oreo buttercream. And then there's an entire Oreo cookie, as you can see, in the middle, signifying when the... Like the buttercream is the sun, the black part is the sky, and then the Oreo is the moon that goes over and hides the sun.
Okay, all right.
Would crush like five of those easily, a whole box of those.
Yep.
And then finally, this is not a deal, but you know me, Chris. I love a good pun. I love a good pun.
Sure.
And if you stop by your local Pizza Hut on April 8th, you can score a large pizza as part of the chain's Total Eclipse of the Hut. Total Eclipse of the Hut. Get it?
I like pizza.
I like it.
So I'm down with it.
It's a 9.5 out of 10 for me.
That's pretty good.
For the pun.
Are you on Monday? You can go outside and look up?
Well, so we'll be working, so I'll only be able to see the shadows. And I also think here in Chicago, we're only getting like a partial one. You got to drive down to like Carbondale.
Oh, I know.
Full eclipse mode.
I've been seeing videos online of people weeping about how great of an event this is going to be.
Okay, so here's the thing.
They booked their reservations because the next time this is going to happen is like
2044
like this
is the
stuff
next one.
Happens often.
No,
don't so
every 20
happen.
Years every 20 years
we were just doing this a couple years ago.
2017 was the last one.
Okay,
yeah, but the next one isn't until 2044. That's 20 years
of all the things in this world to care about. This is the dumbest. Who cares? No, honestly, this is not a bit.
Brands.
Why do people care about this?
Tom Skilling.
Well, yeah, he's a weather person. Weather people love
it. He's coming out of retirement for one day only.
Wow. Congratulations to him.
I'm just saying, man.
If you listen to our radio show on ESPN 1000, Black and Abdallah, weeknights 6:30 to 8, we feature a segment on the show called Zoo News. We would like to bring that segment to you here on YouTube. This is Adam Abdallah.
Hi.
He has some zoo news. What do you have for us today, Abdul?
Well, Chris, as you can see on the screen, a friendly little raccoon. Nine raccoons escaped from the zoo in Leeuwarden. Leeuwarden is in the Netherlands. So nine raccoons have escaped. Actually, 11 raccoons escaped originally. They've caught two of them. Two of the trash pandas, as they're called, have been... I'm not kidding. You can look at it right there. What does it say?
Oh, no, it's a trash panda. Yeah, trash
11
panda.
Raccoons escaped from the Aqua Zoo in Leeuwarden on March 26th, just hours after being delivered to the enclosure. So these are some fresh raccoons that were just delivered to the enclosure, and then 11 of them escaped. They did not like their current habitat. They got to the hotel and they said, "We want a new room. We were promised a view and we were not given said view." So they all escaped. Two of them have been caught. The animals were able to escape due to two pieces of mesh that did not fit together properly, allowing them to dig under the fence, their enclosure, and eventually escape. They received the 11 raccoons on March 25th. It's a foundation that shelters exotic animals in the Netherlands. Apparently, raccoons are exotic to the Netherlands. And the search is ongoing. So if you're in the Netherlands in the Leeuwarden area and you happen to find a trash panda, alert the authorities immediately because they need to get back to the zoo. And that, Chris, is what's new at the zoo.
Thank you for watching Bleck and Abdallah After Hours here on YouTube. Make sure you like and subscribe to the page. You can also download the audio of this on the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. We'll talk to you later.